Blog Talk Radio.
Lift your worship right there in this moment.
In these hands and multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, set me on fire.
Come on, sing.
Take all I have in these hands and multiply, God. That I am and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire.
Ask him.
Set me on fire. Here I am.
And gracefully, hallelujah. Begin to tell the Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all of the things that He brought you out and brought you through and even brought you to. Well, I bless God today, and I am again once excited and delighted to be here with you with Kingdom Builders Development Institute, where I am Prophetess Pastor. Hallelujah. I didn't ask for it. God asked me, Teresa Dux. Praise the name of Jesus. I am happy to be here today, bringing you a word of encouragement, a word of faith, a word of power, a word of anointing that is straight from heaven. I am gracefully broken. Every single thing that have happened to me, hallelujah, God brought me through it. He brought me to it only for such a time as this. Are you gracefully broken or are you bitterly broken? Amen. I get excited about that song because things happen to you not to hurt you, but it is to strengthen you, to make you stronger in God, to make you stronger in the things of the kingdom. Amen. And as we have been talking about spiritual strategies, these spiritual strategies are to give you strength, strength to win. Amen. To be encouraged, to know that there is no good thing that he will withhold from you if you walk uprightly. Tell God, I surrender. Amen. I surrender. And tell him that you're broken gracefully. Tell him thank you for all the pain that you went through, for all the gain that you obtained from going through the things that you went through. Amen. And even the things that are to come. I bring you greetings, blessings, and love from Elder QT Docs and myself and the entire Kingdom Builders Development Institute family. We are here every Wednesday. I mean, unless God says something different, but we're here every Wednesday to bring you word of encouragement. Amen. And I pray that you have your Bibles. I pray that you are growing in God. And I pray that when the enemy comes, eat up your flesh, that he is defeated because you have heard the word of God. You have heard the word of faith. Amen. It's something about having your weaponries in order, that when enemy comes, that you can tap in to the word of God and you can win every single time. That when people speak ill of you, that you know how to love them anyway. You know how to pray for them. That you understand that you are to walk in forgiveness. Amen. We are to walk in reconciliation. We have to restore men and women unto God. Amen. No matter how much it hurt you, but we always keep in mind that our assignment is to be a blessing, to build up, to encourage, to love the hell out of people. Amen. Because this is truly a spiritual battle. It's not what they think, it's not what we think, but it's what the Lord says. It's his will. And we say, Lord, let thy will be done. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen. I send blessings to your home today, and I just thank God that you have decided to totally embrace the things of God, that you have decided to be the type of person that you are, because you understand that God is every single thing that we need. Amen, amen, amen. Well, again, I pray that you have your Bibles, and I pray that you are prepared to do what God has called you to do. I'm excited about just the gratitude. I have gratitude about what God has done in my life, the people that he has placed in my life. Amen. The good, hallelujah. The bad, hallelujah. And I don't want to say the ugly, because God ain't too fond of pretty. Amen. But we going to say thank you anyway, Lord. Because I know that as you flip the scriptures, you are going to be blessed with just touching the Bible and saying, Lord, thank you. Amen. Let us begin to go forward. We've been talking about spiritual strategies. We've been talking about things that we can use, tools that we can use to cause manifestation of the will of God in our life, weaponries that cause the enemy to flee, and we are learning how to use those weaponries. Amen. We're learning how to fight the good fight of faith in the name of Jesus. We're learning how not to be bitter, but we're learning how to win and how to use our weapons of warfare. Amen. Well, we praise God. And again, I'm going to ask you if you'll get your Bibles out. And I want to thank all my listeners, because we do have faithful supporters, faithful listeners, and we have people that believe in what God is doing in the ministry. Amen. Today I'm going to be talking about the strategies, seven spiritual strategies. Amen. For warfare. And I'm going to give you seven. And these are particularly given to you in this time of pandemic. Amen. So that you understand that these are some tools that we must use, and especially in such a time as this. Amen. Morning. You know, you were taught. When you wake up, to pray. You know, our Father, which are in heaven, hallowed be their name, thy kingdom come. So we begin to pray the prayer so we can learn to communicate with God. Prayer is not only talking to God, but prayer is what? Listening to God. God is listening. Did you know? That he's literally listening to us when we not just talk to him, but when we talk to others. I firmly believe that God is with us. Do you believe that? I believe it. I believe as close as we are to ourselves, that we're even closer to God. Why do I believe that? Because God is a spirit, and we are a spiritual being. Our spirit connects with the spirit of God. Amen. So as our spirit connects with God, I believe that we are close to God in spirit. And when I pray, or when you pray, you know, I wait for God to reply. You know, not always asking how God's going to reply, but I just trust that God will. So when you pray, I want to encourage you to wait on. Don't be the one, you know, doing all the talking. Have you ever been on the telephone or just in communication with someone and they are doing all of the talking? That's not a conversation, that's a lecture. But in a conversation, You talk, I talk, we talk. That's how it is with God. Prayer, monologue, and a dialogue. So wait on God to talk. It's a weapon. So we go and tell our daddy what's going on, and guess what? He speaks back. So I pray right now in the name of Jesus that every ear gate is open to hear what God is saying, that you're able to hear God's voice. Because in hearing his voice, it is part of our weaponry. Why? Because he tell us what to do. He give us direction. The Spirit of the Lord, which is the Holy Spirit, lead, guide, and direct. Amen. So when you pray, trust that God will answer your prayer, that God will lead, God will direct. So when I pray for others, you know, such as your loved ones, your parents, your mom, your sister, your brother, or whoever you're praying for, they might live in another state. But whoever you pray for, I want to encourage you to begin to see that prayer being manifested. Like right now, we have a specific prayer that we believe in God for. You know, we have a loved one that we haven't heard from in a while, in a long, long time. And right now we're believing, hallelujah, we're believing that the manifestation with a phone call, with a letter, something is going to arrive, or in one of my siblings' mailbox, or someone will get a phone call and we'll hear his voice, and we'll hear that he's okay. We'll hear that all is well. So that's what we're praying now, and we're believing that it's going to manifest. We're believing that he's well. We're believing that God's going to answer that prayer. So I know that God is hearing our prayers. And even though our loved ones are not in the same room with us, we can touch their lives by praying the prayer of faith, and God can touch them wherever they are. So we literally send the word to our loved ones right now in the name of Jesus that God is touching them and that God is moving by his Spirit and that he is compelling them to pick up the phone and call, or just make known that they're okay. It's a weapon. Prayer is a weapon. That's one point that I want to release upon my listening audience today, to know that when you pray, that it's a weapon. Amen. And then the second spiritual point that I want to make is that we need to stay connected. We need to stay connected with God. We need to stay connected with others. And I recommend to all my listeners and those that listen in archives that even though you may be quarantined from relatives and you may be quarantined from family, listen, God is so innovative that he have opened up doors that we can literally touch our family. We can literally touch our friends through Zoom, through Skype, even Google Meet. We can make phone calls. You know, it's so many great ways to stay in contact and in a relationship with others, even when we're quarantined, when we can't literally hug and touch. You know, because human beings, we're social. We like to connect. But I want to serve notice on you today that you would know that stay connected with your loved ones. You know, get on your Skype them. Get on your phone. And if you have an iPhone, you know, just look at their face. You know, encourage them. Those are weapons, because, see, what the enemy does, he makes people feel, you know, that you're not connected with them. And when a person, maybe if they can't see you, they might, I mean, if they can see you, they might feel a little bit better. So don't be afraid to stay connected with your loved ones so you can see that they're healthy, that you can encourage them spiritually. Staying connected is a weapon because, see, the enemy want to get you where you're not connected, and he can get you all to yourself. And when he got you all by yourself, all to himself, that you start thinking all kind of thoughts, God is saying, stay connected with him so that when you're connected with him in prayer, that he can speak to you. And when you speak, you're speaking God's voice. Amen. You're speaking his words. You're saying what God wants you to say. You're not just saying anything, but in your connection with people, make sure you give them a scripture. Give them, say, let me pray for you. You know, you hear their pain, encourage them. They might address their issues. You know, I want to even encourage you to, when you talk to people, get a pad. I'm serious. Some people have so many issues. Get you a notepad, and when you talk to them, just start writing down where their pain is or what issue they have or what concern they have, and then write their names above it. And then as you talk to them or as you pray, go down that list. You know, they might say, I got a headache, or they might say, my phone's not working, or they might say, someone took my stimulus check. Write it down. And then as you're talking or as you're praying, hakararabo shatarabo say, begin to say in the prayer, you know, Father, you know where that stimulus check is. We call it forth right now in Jesus' name. Speak to that phone. Command their phone to work. So what I'm saying is use those weapons that God have given you. And so you know when you pray for that person what concerns they have. And by doing that, you're staying connected. And when you talk to them the next time, ask them, did your stimulus check come? Ask them, did you find your phone? So they know that you were listening. And when people know that you're listening, guess what happens? They encourage, because they might say, pray for this person. Next time you talk to them, you call that person out by name. Why? How? Because you know and you did pray. And they're encouraged because you did remember. Amen. So we're talking about weaponries that we can use in this time of pandemic, spiritual strategies. A third weapon, I told you I'd give you seven. We're on the third weapon now. Reach out. Reach out. Some people are quarantined, and some people are not going to come outside. They're not going to go to the grocery store. They call and get food delivered. It's okay. But we want you to reach out. Buy some cards, you know, and send them out. Buy some gift cards. Just say, just thinking about you. Have lunch on me. They can call and Uber, Lyft, and they'll bring it to you. You know, so you reach out. You see your, see if you got seniors in your neighborhood and find out what their needs are. You know, they might say, I need to pick my medicine up, or I need a doctor's appointment, or whatever it is, fulfill a need. I'm telling you, when we fulfill needs of others, we are using weapons that the enemy don't want us to use, because people have needs and then they become depressed. And when they feel that they have no help, depression brings on other illnesses such as anxiety and fear, and people get desperate. So we're using those things that God has given us that we take for granted, and we're using them to bless other people so you can see what a neighbor needs. We can still practice social distancing by starting a group chat, you know, with people on our block, or, you know, don't just always let it be family, you know, because most of the time, and, you know, some people don't have family. So find someone that we can give a word to. We can, hey, how you doing? Do you need anything? Well, you know, you really can't ask just anybody, do they need anything? Because some people don't need, they just want. But we want to fulfill needs, amen? So start a group chat, you know. Call someone at your, call your church office and ask the church administrator, is there anybody at the church that, you know, give me a list of seniors that I can be a blessing to. And then when can I, you might even want to, you know, this for some, not for all, you might make a decision that I want to just get in the car and I want to drop off flowers. You know, I just want to buy some flowers and, or I want to order flowers and send them to someone. You know, it's just simple things. Social distancing does not mean it's the end of the world, or it's the end of serving, or it's the end of giving. It's really the beginning. We don't stop. You know the song, we don't die, we multiply. Keep reaching out. Stay connected. Stay in prayer. Those are 3 points so far. And then the fourth point, be grateful. You know, sometimes we're not grateful for the little things, let alone the big things. There's always something for which to be grateful for, always. You know, as I was writing down my teaching today, my son, I have 5, amen, yes I do, but my son, Sean, he sent me a text, and it's a video of his uncle, my brother. And he took a bunch of pictures of him because my brother went through a little, he was hospitalized. And so keep him in your prayers. My youngest brother, Bernard, he's out now, praise God. And my son did a video, and he put a bunch of pictures, and he put a bunch of quotes of encouragement and laughters and, you know, jokes. And he said, this is just to encourage you. That was huge, but yet it was small, but yet it was big. So little things that become major things to some people might be little to you, but it might be huge to him. And it was huge to me that he thought enough that he took time out of his busy schedule to do that and send it in to his uncle. So I'm grateful, you know, all of my sons are adults, and they are healthy. You know, the children are healthy. Everybody's doing well, you know, and, you know, I'm grateful. My mom, you know, still with us, grateful. You know, so we have so much to be grateful for. So I'm grateful to even share a conversation of encouragement. I'm grateful to share meals with others. You know, sometimes we out and we just cover the bill for somebody. Gratitude, it gives us perspective. You know, so these are weapons, because when you use these tools, people begin to say there is a God, or they might see God in you. And, you know, so, and that's point four. And point five, slow down. What do I mean, slow down? You know, we have often wished that we had more time, I say, for contemplation. You know, so be careful what you wish for. In all seriousness, however, more time to contemplate and watch the sun rise. Just sit back. Watch the beautiful trees. You know, look through your backyard window. It's a sense of peace. You know, yeah, you might need some repairs back there, but just be grateful. Just to be able to have a backyard, to look at what God has done to you and for you. Amen. Baking bread takes more time than buying it, and sometimes you can help. Just go make some bread and cut it up and give it away. You know, just simple things that will cause you to slow down and just think on the goodness of God. You might say, I'm going to bake some cookies. Like my sister-in-law, she baked cakes. I'm not going to say sister-in-law. My sister, she baked cakes, and she sent it out during the holidays. And, you know, my husband and I we take the cake and we just cut it and eat it gradually. And as we savoring the cake in our mouth, you know, it's just delicious, like a fruit cake. Boy, and you're talking about just being appreciative. So you slow down, you get your cup of tea and get you some of that cake, and you meditate and a quiet time together. Those are weaponries, showing kindness to others, you know, and just slow down and appreciate the simple things. Point six, I'm going to say engage yourself in meaningful work. What do I mean? Meaningful work, doing something that's going to help others. You know, like the children at home, and they're working from home. They're going to school from home. A lot of them don't have computers. A lot of them don't have the tools that they need. Sponsor some kids with their home equipment. You know, it's just so many things that we can do. You know, buy some disinfectant, drop it off to a mother with children. The simple things that go a long ways. We're still talking about tools that we can use that are spiritual strategies that Satan don't want us to use these tools, because he don't want us to show kindness. He don't want us to represent God in this time of pandemic. Amen. And then the last tool that I want to talk about is showing love in spite of. Amen. Show love to someone that may be going through and they're not showing love to you. Ask God to give you the grace. To show some love to someone that's going through. I'm going to play a segment of this song, and I'll be right back.
Don't worry about it.
Hold on. A change is coming. Hallelujah. So just take a little time out your day and say, I'm just going to do something kind for someone. Understanding that Satan's strategy is to make you always think about yourself, what you don't have, what you need. You know, so the battle belongs to the Lord, and you are a soldier. And so as a soldier, we began to do things as a soldier. So let's go to war. In every war, there's battles. And in every battle, there are attacks. Now, we know about that. So the enemy attack you when you're trying to do good deeds. He'll cause someone to lie on you. And see, the point that I'm trying to make is the battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. You have already won. We just got to walk through the process. So hold on. A change is coming. Hold on. Just keep doing the good work that the Lord has sent you to do. There's going to always be some battles. There's going to always be an attack. There's going to always be that. But as Christians, we believe these attacks come in a variety of degrees. Some attacks seem small. Some seem major. But these really are all spiritual attacks. And the only way that we can really, really defeat the enemy is staying busy doing the work of ministry. Never be distracted. Regardless to how much we may want to get with the enemy, we may want to correct person. We must realize. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. Amen? It's not with flesh and blood. You know the scripture. Satan is working overtime. And he understands during this pandemic, if he can get us off course, he got us. Amen. He's the master deceiver. Amen. And he wants to attack everything that we do as Christians. Spiritual warfare is the walk that we have to walk. And we fight the good fight of faith in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm excited. Amen. I just want to take a short break. Elder's going to come, and he's going to read a couple scriptures for me. Or he's going to share spiritual strategies. He's going to assist today. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about when we enter war, the moment that Adam and Eve was tempted to eat of the tree of knowledge. And I'm going to ask Elder if he would read Genesis 3:1. Amen. Amen. Are you there, Elder? Amen. I'll go ahead and read it. We're talking about the fall. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals of the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must eat from any tree You must not eat from any tree in the garden. Satan was working then, and he wanted to deceive Eve. Amen. Now, the serpent, he was real cunning. And the Bible says that he was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. So that's how Satan worked. He wages war against the Lord the moment he has been cast out of heaven. The moment that Adam and Eve were told not to eat of the tree of knowledge. Satan has been on his job ever since. So the Bible is clear on what Satan is supposed to, what he came here to do. It's clear. And we must be clear on what God has called us to do. I want to encourage you. We're going to talk about who is Satan. Amen, amen. I'm going to turn it over to Elder for a few moments, and I'll be right back.
Amen, amen. Who is Satan? Satan is described in Revelation 12 and 9 as the great dragon cast out. That serpent of old called the devil and Satan who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. His name is Lucifer. In Isaiah 14 and 12, it says, and his original home was heaven. However, Satan did not remain in heaven as the beautiful angel he was created to be. The Bible tells us that he was cast out due to his rebellion against the Lord. Behind rebellion lies pride, and we all experience that. We all know rebellious people. They rebel because they want to, their pride is just too great for them to bow. Their pride is too great for them to admit that when they're wrong, their pride is too great to step forward and say, you know, and tell someone that, you know, I love you or can I help you? We're talking about, you know, this is what hurts Satan, his pride. In Isaiah 14:12-15, it includes, it says, I will. Statement that illustrates Lucifer's pride in rebellion against God. I will. He said, I will ascend to heaven. I will. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost high of Mount Zephon. Satan, doing all his talking, his pride. I will. All about I. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. Satan talking about I will. I will make myself like the Most High. I will. I will always stem from I will. You know, that word I will is always about big I and little you. I will always stem, always, I will, always stem from a heart of pride. Anytime you hear someone say, I will, when the word I will or I will not quickly come out of our mouths, we must recognize the pride that is behind the words and the attitude. Once we begin to acknowledge the pride within us, we can then begin to recognize how Satan it to strategize against us. Why? It's obvious. Satan wants to destroy us. The Bible says Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. The Bible warns that pride comes before a fall. And that's in Proverbs 16:18. You know, one of the main goals is to lead us into temptation, to get us to fall. Satan loves to see us fall. It seems like that's just the bit of Satan, the trap of Satan. He loves us to get us to fall. And that's what breaks down a lot of marriages, a lot of relationships, and you know, a lot of jobs is when we is when Satan prey on our weakness. When he preys on our weakness, when he put temptations in front of us. You working at the bank, and you see all this money, and he allow, you know, your mind to start working. You know, is it easier if I could just take a, you know, $1,000 or so, and that temptation Satan is putting into your mind, and you know, and if you marry or if you have a relationship, you know, he put a handsome young man in front of you, or he put a beautiful young woman in front of you, and he's tempting you to go for it, to disregard what you already have. You know, they say a bird, you know, a bird in the hand is better than two birds in the bush. You know, and we don't seem to understand that you know, you got someone that's dedicated to you, that love you, that believes in you, and then, but yet you think you see something better on the outside, and you think, hey, it's better over there than I might have at home, and then you realize that's not so. That's a deception that Satan is strategizing to trap you. That's how he put you in that hot seat. And once he got you to, you know, where he wants you, then he's going to laugh at you. Then you're going to realize he doesn't care about you, or she doesn't care about you. This job wasn't for you, you know, or the words you said to insult someone wasn't correct, and it was wrong because you was fed the wrong information about that individual. Satan strategized, are all aimed at trying to kill, steal, and destroy us. Satan hates us. He doesn't love us like God. Satan hates God. He wants to be like him so bad. He hates him so much. His hatred is manifested through his scheme to destroy God's people. We are God's people, and he are destroying us because we are not listening to the voice of God. We are not studying to show ourselves approved. We are not proclaiming his word to be above all other words. See, Satan will use every tactic possible to get our focus off of the Lord and onto ourselves. Oh, man, you know, I did this, man. I did that. I did this. It's all about I. That's what Satan wants. Usually point your fingers at yourself, saying what you did, but not what God did. And nothing that you have that you can accomplish would have been possible without our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, one of Satan's greatest tools is deception. And we got a lot of deceiving individuals in this world, a lot of deceiving individuals on your job, a lot of deceiving individuals in your neighborhood, a lot of deceiving individuals. We must try the Spirit by the Spirit. See, when we least expect it, we can be lured into a trap set by the enemy. And that is so easy to do. We must become more aware of Satan's schemes and take the steps to fight back. We must fight back. If we want victory, we must fight Satan back. We must stand up. We must put Satan behind us. And we go back to the beginning and see how Satan first appeared. You know, and that was in Genesis 3, 1 and 8. And let's look at Satan as the serpent. The serpent is described as crafty. How many people do we know that are crafty or con men or slickster or whatever you want to call them? But he or she trying to get over, you know, trying to make that extra bucks or trying to connive you out of something. Or we're talking about, those are the craftiness of Satan, the enemy that is trying to use his tactics like he did against Eve to question you. you know, question your mind, give you second thoughts, give you doubts. Because what she believes of God, Satan put all kinds of doubts into her mind. Eve's choice reflected her heart. She was tempted to question God's goodness, to question God's heart, and what God wanted best for her. The Satan instilled into her that she should want to be like God. Our Satan is an evil trickster. He worked and prayed on your weakness. Amen. Satan. He knows the weakness of man. And we see that in everyday experience today. In the world today, we see it. Amen. Satan. All right. I'm going to turn you back over to Pastor and Prophetess Teresa Docks. Amen.
Amen. You're talking about tools to use because Satan is on his job. And we must, absolutely must, be on ours. Satan knows what he was sent to do. Amen. And he tempts us. He tries to lure us. So it's important that we use spiritual strategies. Every time he uses tools, we already can counteract, rebuttal. Amen. See, in Genesis, when we're referring to Satan using I believe it says about the eyes to bring temptation into our lives. People will use their eyes to flirt or whatever it may be. But I want you to read in Genesis 13:5-17. Genesis 13:5-17 is talking about when Abram and Lot returned from Egypt. Remember, you know the story. And the land was so crowded with both of their flocks. So Lot. Men, they started a fight with Abram. And when Abram suggested that they part, Lot see the plan of Jordan was well worn. You know the story. He chose to settle in Sodom with people who were wicked and sin and was sinful. And their sin was great against the Lord. Where have you chose your lot to be? You know, what table do you choose to sit at? What voice do you choose to give your ear to? See, these are weapons that Satan used. He tried to get us where we give time to the devil. You know, where we open up ourselves to receive word from the devil. Satan used people, and then they'll get into your ear gate, hallelujah. And when they get in your ear gate, see, you know, a gate opens and closes. And if the gate is open, guess what? Who let the dogs out? Okay, that's something else I'm talking about, but I'm still trying to make a point. The gate is open, dog can get out. The gate is open. Things can be deposited into your spirit. You have to protect. The Bible says that we have to protect our heart. Amen. So what happens is when the gate is open, your ear gate is open, you're trying to be all give sympathy and compassion and empathy to someone, but the gate is open, wide open, ear gate open. Now Satan uses his tools to try to get inside the gate. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in the heart of that person is being deposited into yours. Where do you choose? What table do you choose to eat at? I mean, it's just plain and simple. We cannot play. We can't. Because it's a loved one. It's still the Satan. It's still the devil. Oh, but I love her. But I love him. And they come to crush everything that God has given you. So we have to make a decision that whenever Satan rises up, we have to deal with it. Because what he does is he does sneak attacks. So he'll catch you off guard. And when you're not planning to be attacked, it's on. You know how they say a sucker punch. And so my father, as we was growing up, I'd never been a fighter, but always knew that if you have to protect yourself, you need to be watching, right? So you can't turn your back on the enemy. And I say that to you. You can't turn your back on something that you is inevitable to happen. So these are tools that we use. And they're tools that cause the enemy to flee. So you won't get sucker punched. And that's how a lot of people will win fights. In the natural, they'll catch you off guard and sucker punch you. I've never been sucker punched, but I don't know. Maybe some of us have been. But I thank God that he's always had a ram in the bush for me. There was always someone there. It was always an angel. It was always an angel there for me. But what I'm the point that I'm trying to make to you today is that God wants us to be totally, and the seven tools that I gave you today are tools that we can use against the enemy by showing love and kindness. And if you show love and kindness to someone that may be not expecting that from you, they begin to see the Lord action at work through you. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Abram was promised all the land that he could see and the offspring that would last forever. I'm going back to the point I was talking about, Abram and Lot. And when Lot saw Eve, and he was like Eve, he saw Sodom and Gomorrah, and it looked good to him. So he was like, okay, I want that because it looked like it's, you know, fruitful land. It was looking good, but guess what? It was full of sin. So what looks good ain't always good. You know, and then I'm going to make reference to my father again. He always talked about the underdog. I don't care who was winning. He went with the underdog. It was some reason. It was some reason that he chose the ones that was not winning because he wanted to be a person to help someone else win. So I say to you today, allow God to use you and ask him for an understanding on who to allow in your ear gate. We're going to be talking about gates on next week, which is the tools and the strategies that we use for spiritual warfare. We're going to talk about the ear gate, the eye gate. We're going to talk about the different gates. It's going to be really good. I get excited because I do know that Satan used the ear gate more than any gate to get in because he understands that he can't do anything to us. We'll do it to ourselves by what we think. And we think based on what we hear or what we see or what we feel. So we're going to tap into spiritual matters and we're going to begin to see spiritual things so we can think spiritual things. We can speak spiritual things. We can live spiritual things. So when the enemy try to speak to your ear gate, you're able to take authority. Hallelujah. You're able to always win. Because as soon as he come, you understand that intruder spirit, you will literally, I'm going to say this. Literally, people come in my presence, and I could only use my story because I know that it's all God. It's all him, and I didn't understand it, but I would hear intruder or decoy. I would hear certain words, and it was a sign to me from God that he was speaking and he was warning me. Give us warnings. He will tell us and it'll avoid us from tripping and falling and busting our head. Amen. And I didn't understand that. And I said, Lord, I don't want to know all of these things about people. And he told me, it's for your good. It's to protect you. And it wasn't about me at all. It was about you all. It's about me being able to speak the word, teach the word, live the word, strive to win so that I may be able to be used for God's glory. So don't miss opportunities because they are golden moments to grow and become. So I say to you in closing, strap up, get fortified, load up your gun with the word of God, and ask God to use those tools I gave you today and start your day off every single day with a prayer, conversation with God, and stay there until he speaks to you. Don't just pray and get up. Don't do that traditional routine prayer. Stay there. They say the morning bench, stay there until you hear a word from heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Spiritual warfare is a weapon. Amen. Amen. I'm going to encourage everyone to fight the good fight of faith and know that you're going to win. To your family, call them and encourage them. And as soon as something negative come up, I want you to begin to say, that's a no-no. We're not going to do that today. We're going to encourage. We're going to build up. Why? Because when we keep building, we're going to achieve our goals, and we're going to have soldiers everywhere to defeat Satan's attack. And Elder was talking about Satan's mission. He was talking about what Satan came to do. So we're going to fortify ourselves on next week. We're going to talk about all the gates, the way of entry, the way Satan get in. And so to know what his tactic is to win. Amen. Thank you so much for just, I can't thank you enough. I'm forever grateful that God put each and every one of you in our lives because you make things so much better for us. And we want to encourage you and let you know that because of you, we are who we are. Because as you continue to sow and continue to believe and continue to encourage and continue to become, hallelujah, it makes life worth living. So with that being said, we send the love of God to you that you would bring people into salvation. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them what he did for us. Tell them what's necessary so that they can walk this good walk of faith and they can be saved. So if you know anyone that's not saved, it's your job. It's your assignment to bring them into the fold. Amen, amen, hallelujah. I want to say thank you for your time. God bless you all. Father, we just thank you for this time with your people. Father, that you would keep them safe. You would keep them healthy, Father. And Father, let no good thing be taken from them that you have given them, Father. And I thank you that they're wise. And I thank you that they're full of your word. And Father, we thank you, God, that as we move up the King's Highway, that we'll get wiser and stronger and more knowledgeable of what you would have us to do. So we ask these things in your mighty name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to agree with heaven today, and I'm going to say what my brother in the ministry says. Pray for me as we pray for you, and let's just all see what God's going to do. We'll see you tomorrow live at 5 with Elder QT Docs. He'll be here. And then our FM AM broadcast with Brother David Patterson. Oh, my God, you got to, if you have any young men that need to hear a word, have them call in at 5. And it's a double treat. They get to hear Elder, and then they get to hear Brother Patterson. And I'm telling you, they will not regret that they came. Amen. Want to encourage you. He comes on at 6, and Elder's at 5. That's Eastern Standard Time every second and fourth Thursday. Amen. So, an Elder is here every week. God bless everyone. I don't want to keep you long, but I want to thank you for just being patient with me. And just keep us in your prayer. So God bless you, and just make this life full of the love of God. Amen, amen. God bless everyone, and have a terrific, blessed, supernatural rest of your day. Thank you for joining.
When I walk by your side, I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. By your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, to my knees or will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able